We hear today the story about the beheading of John the Baptist. Just a few days ago, we actually celebrated in our liturgical calendar the birth of John the Baptist. And so it seems he didn't have a very long life. But that's really not the point. And that joke really fell flat, so we'll just leave it there. We really need to look at this story in a larger context to really get the points that the evangelist Mark is trying to make. You may remember a few weeks ago, with a very much shorter section of the gospel, we talked about Mark's penchant for wanting to sandwich one story in the middle of two others, or rather, one story sandwiched in two parts of another story. And so we need to recall the gospel from last week, and I need to foreshadow for you the gospel for next week to really understand what this one is all about. For this section of Mark's gospel is all about discipleship. It's all about how we become followers of Jesus and how we are to carry out that responsibility as Christ's disciples. That's critically important for us, because even though the gospel writer is talking about those first disciples who were Jesus' closest associates, they really are the model for every disciple that would follow down through the ages to our own day. So understanding the idea of discipleship as Mark understands it becomes critically important for us to understand who we are and how we fit into the plan of God. You may recall that last week Jesus called his disciples to himself, and he sent them out two by two out into the region, into the small villages of the area. And he told them that they should take nothing with them but depend on the people which they visit, sort of living off the land, as it were. And he said to them that if they accept what you tell them, then bless them. If they reject you and the message that you bring, then proverbially, he says, shake the dust from your feet. In other words, take nothing of what they have with you. Next week, we'll hear yet another part of Mark's gospel. And so in talking about it today, we'll have to come up with a totally new sermon. But what we were talking about is when they returned to Jesus after going out. And so he began to tell the disciples really what discipleship was about. They were to go out and they were to do the work of God. They were to tell the good news of Jesus. They were to spread the word about the way that Jesus came to proclaim. When they returned, he called them to himself and then said to them, come away to a desert place all by yourselves and rest a while. And so they did, and then Jesus looks out on a crowd and he begins to tell them why they just are like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, the work of discipleship in terms of being an apostle of Jesus, of being one sent out into the world to tell the story of Jesus, is never complete. There are always more who need to hear that good news. But Mark very cagily puts this story about John the Baptist in the middle of those two bookends, about that main story about discipleship. And he does so to make a very specific point. Lots of times we think that Because we go out and we proclaim the good news of Jesus, and we tell them all about the great things that God is doing for them, we tell them about the inclusive love of God with no exceptions, that there will be only joy in our lives. But what Jesus, what Mark rather, is trying to tell us about following Jesus is that there will always be a price to be paid. There will be a cost. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a small theology book, and he calls it The Cost of Discipleship. And he talks about this very reality. John the Baptizer, the one who prefigured Jesus in so many ways, we know from Luke's gospel, even a relative of Jesus. Some scholars tell us that even when Jesus went off in the wilderness before he began his official ministry, he actually went to be with John, and John was kind of his mentor. But what did John do that was his ultimate undoing? Oh, he came in from the wilderness and he preached a repentance of sin, and so many people followed him that they came to the Jordan, he baptized them. We know that story. But we hear this story too. And this story says to us that being a disciple of Jesus will sometimes require us to speak an uncomfortable truth. A truth that people will not want to hear. A truth that people in power may actually try to suppress. In our modern terminology, we may say they want to co-opt it. They want to take it over to themselves and mold it for their own purposes. That's why Bonhoeffer actually wrote his book, The Cost of Discipleship, because that's exactly what was happening in Germany in the 1930s and into the Nazi period. The government was co-opting the church in Germany, which was a state church. And church leaders allowed it to happen because they were more concerned about making sure the institution survived than speaking the truth of the gospel. Not all were doing this. There were many who did not. And in fact, Bonhoeffer was one of them. And for a very long time, he withstood that pressure. He even started an underground seminary so that new pastors would not simply be indoctrinated by Nazi ideology, somehow co-opting the Christian gospel. And in fact, it actually cost him his life as well, not unlike this story of John the Baptist. Speaking truth to power is not a comfortable reality. Speaking truth to people with power who do not want to hear what you have to say is dangerous. That is, in fact, what we are called to do. We are not called to be Christians so that we can fit into society, but rather, as many of our founders thought, our freedom of religion in our nation, which we celebrate so clearly, is about being the conscience of our society. And that sometimes following that baptismal promise that we take so earnestly, to strive for justice and peace, and to respect the dignity of every human being, will be costly. It may cause us to lose the respect of some of our friends. It may even bring division to some of our families. We are all cautioned at Thanksgiving time not to talk of religion or politics. But those two things are not divorced. Those two things actually are inextricably intertwined. And we see it played out in today's gospel lesson. And Mark is telling us that we can expect nothing less. We can hope that we will not be like John the Baptizer and suffer such a fate, or the fate of so many Christian martyrs down through the ages into our own time, into the days of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or even in the days within most of our memories in this room of those who were prophets in our own time, like Martin Luther King Jr. That when the truth of human dignity, when the truth of genuine justice and the peace that flows from it is not what people want to hear, well then, we sometimes are even taking our life into our own hands. And we must be vigilant that in fact doing so may cost us our lives. That is a high price to pay to be a disciple of Jesus. And it is no wonder that churches who stand in that space are not popular churches. They are not full to the brim. When they take stands that criticize the powers that be in our society, they often empty out because people do not want to pay the price. If, however, we make a genuine commitment as we do in our baptismal promises, and we are earnest and sincere in doing it, it must have an impact in every day of our life. And sometimes, it can come at great cost. Preachers in other denominations have lost their pulpits. Churches have emptied their pews. Other churches that preach, for example, the gospel of prosperity, and really, in one way or another, are themselves co-opting the message of Christ for the message of a society in which we live, a capitalist society in which we thrive, without criticism, that they are thriving. We wonder why our churches are as empty as they are. Not because of the pandemic, but even beforehand, why so many churches seem to be declining and others growing exponentially. Maybe it's because the message is hard. The full gospel is hard. The full teaching of Jesus is hard. And as human beings, we shy away from hard things. But what gives us hope is the fact that Christ promises to us that if we remain faithful to that key and message of the heart, that promise that we take in our baptism, that God will send us the Spirit, which is a spirit not only of knowledge and wisdom, but a spirit of courage, so that we will be able to have what we need to do the hard things. For it is only when we do those hard things that the world around us will be changed, that the world we seek to bring into the kingdom of God will be transformed. And it is happening not because of what we say or do, but because we are following the lead of Christ's Spirit. Thank goodness there are no Herods in our day, but actually perhaps there are. Thank goodness we are not called to be the kind of prophet as John the Baptist, but perhaps at times we are. It is all up to God. And it is up to us if we choose genuinely to follow the way that Jesus puts before us, the way that leads ultimately to eternal life.